Hello.
Hello, Richard?
Yes.
Hi, I guess we're on the air now. This is my PBS radio show with Cosmic Love. It's a pleasure to have you on.
It's my pleasure to be here, Crystal. Thank you.
I'm speaking with Dr. Richard Presser. He's the author of the book, The Coming Golden Age. And I've been reviewing this for some time now. I finally got a copy of it, in full. Been reading excerpts of it. And for those who are familiar with Richard, he has been on BBS Radio several months ago with Carolyn Evers, I believe, and it was in January?
Yes, that's correct.
And for those who know a little bit about Richard's book or have heard the radio interview with Carolyn Evers, I'm going to be going into some more specifics, some more details on the show. The book that Richard has, he has an e-book that can be downloaded. I have a link to that on my BBS Radio bio page on Cosmic Love. Some of you may have read that and are coming into the interview from that. There's a link on that, but they can go to it directly. It's www.thecominggoldenage.com. Is that correct, Richard?
That's bang on, Christopher. Thank you.
And I highly recommend those who haven't had a chance to look at it to go through it. What I really like about the book is that it's got many hot links in it. You might say there's books within the books, or at least many articles, websites that go into greater detail with what he's talking about regarding the coming golden age and different aspects of this dimensional shift that's in process in consciousness. And Richard, I'd like to go into some different aspects of this in detail. I wanted to introduce Richard a little bit with his background as an information technology engineer. His doctorate, I believe, is in information technology, isn't it, Richard?
It's actually not, Christopher. My PhD is in materials engineering, which I sort of walked away from and went into the computer industry. And really, I've been more involved in sales and marketing and management in the IT industry than on the technical side of it.
That's interesting. I didn't get that from Carolyn's show. I did listen to that the other day. What I would really like to hear from you is more aspects of what you talk about in the book, and to go into that perhaps in a little bit more detail. Richard's book, I like the way it's organized. Those who can download it from the website link that I gave you, the way he's organized his table of contents, you can click on the subjects that you're interested in and go right to that section, and then go right to hyperlinks within the text to other websites and articles. And I found it fascinating as kind of a archetypal overview of keynote aspects of this, the big shift I often refer to it that's in process. And that's something that I'd like to go into you more with regarding the, and I think I'd like to do that from your background. So from what I understand, You were raised in a Protestant religion, and you had a, from what I understand, a Jungian relationship with the church. Could you go into that a little bit?
Yes, I can't say I was particularly close to the church, I guess, in my earlier days. Certainly, I had exposure to it, and it ultimately didn't really resonate with me. And I certainly wouldn't have described myself in my early days in any way spiritual. I really didn't understand what the term meant, other than it was in the language somewhere, or, you know, any distinction between spirituality and religion was not even a concept that I gave a moment's thought to in my earlier days. It was really, I guess, about 15 years ago when I was running what was a pretty successful IT business with a couple of partners. It was a $25 million business here in Australia and doing pretty well, employing some fantastic people, a business that had a pretty good reputation. And, you know, in many ways, to the outside world, I had pretty much the trappings of success. You know, I was married to a pretty special lady, and at that stage, three gorgeous kids, and, you know, driving around in a Ferrari and all that kind of stuff. And I suddenly realized that, you know, there was this hole inside of me that all that I'd been creating out in the physical domain, if you will, I'd been trying to fill this hole, and I hadn't actually realized I was doing that until I realized I wasn't filling it. And it was, I guess you could describe it as an epiphany. And so that really began a search to try and make some sense of what was going on in my life. And in hindsight, led me to pretty much deconstruct my life as it was at that point in time. I managed to lose $1 million in a year and got divorced and, you know, finished up in this little yogurt pulp for a while and all kinds of things as this search unfolded. And it really was only about a year ago when the pieces started to come together for me. And you're asking, you know, for a little bit of an overview of the ebook. Essentially, what it endeavors to do is kind of stay out in the territory that I was, in a sense, which is, you know, someone who's come through a scientific training, if you will, and has been exposed to those kind of disciplines. And so talk a little about what modern science is telling us, not just quantum physics, but more broadly the sciences. And the thing that I find interesting, and it's a point that Gary Zukav makes in The Dancing Wheelie Masters, which is perhaps the first book that I read that endeavored to bridge science and spirituality, is that if you pursue any discipline with focus, you finish up in the same place, which is, you know, we are all one, everything is one. My ebook starts off in that science and then steps through into the spiritual side of things, into some channeling, and brings some scientific rigor, if you will, to the process of analyzing some channeled material, particularly from Carolyn Evers, and then correlating that with evidence in this domain, of which there's quite a lot.
Well, that's a good overview. I actually am coming from an engineering, architectural engineering background myself, and okay. I was 3 years into it when I had a life-changing cosmic consciousness vision and dropped everything and went out to study in the mystery schools out in California.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I kind of went through the same thing with a wonderful wife and children, and my background is largely marketing and with technology and nutrition supplements.
Okay.
But in the health field. But I've been really, since 30 years ago, when I seriously got on the path of studying the mysteries, I also looked at a lot of these different, more recently, these different sources and things you talk about. And, of course, I'm really into the geometry of divinity or spiritual geometry or, you know, the order of the universe. And in terms of geometric thought forms and processes, and of course Jung fits into that real well.
Mm.
And what I've been really fascinated with how this all frames an understanding of a lot that's happening right now, and particularly what I call crop circles 101. The crop circles thing in your book is very interesting. I really liked different references you had in that.
Thank you. Well, it's very interesting. You know, one of the things that I came to understand after I'd completed this, and if you've clicked on that link at the end of my ebook, you will have heard that small segment of channeling from Carolyn Evers, but I was guided by Mother Mary in the writing of this, of which I had no idea at the time I was writing it. However, what I was aware of was the extraordinary synchronicity in terms of things turning up that really became part of the ebook, and they turned up after I, in quite a number of cases, after I'd begun to write it, and yet I wrote it in fairly short time. It was quite extraordinary. And the really powerful thing, I mean, I was interested in the crop circle piece and kind of understood where it fitted. And as I was writing this, lo and behold, at the end of August, from Spiritual Cinema Circle turns up their monthly little pack, and the feature on there is Star Dreams, which is certainly the best documentary that I've seen on crop circles.
But you have that link here, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And I was really amazed as I'm reading your copy, you know, how succinct it is, how timely it is. It is within about a year ago you wrote this.
It's not even that. I wrote it in August and September, pretty much. I mean, I cleaned it up for a month or so after that, but I pretty much wrote it late August, early September last
wow.
year. So it's not
very
long ago.
Timely. A lot of it's just a very wonderful, brief, succinct overview of what I call the highlights or keynotes of a lot of this phenomena that's going on, and I think. Everyone's going to come at it in a different way, and that's why I like the way you've organized it with the hot links, and with someone can just go right to the table of contents and go to a section that they're comfortable with or interested in, and you know, go at it from any part to any other part. Really, it's
yes. One of the things I've found a number of people do, and I think this is a good way to approach it, is just to kind of take it and read it. It's not a long document, as you say,
uh-huh.
and then go back and click on the links and investigate some of the background material. I think, a good way to approach it. One of the things that I've been very humbled by, and it's certainly not something that I consciously did, and really, in this sense, simply see myself as the vehicle for what's come through here, is that initially I was quite surprised by a number of people emailing me talking about the energetic shift, if you like, they experienced as they read it. And that was not something I expected at all. And I really have been humbled by those emails from people who found an opening for themselves through the reading of it. I'm not saying everybody will experience that. That's certainly not the case. But it's an angle that's part of the ebook that I don't take any credit for having put there. It simply has been expressed in there through me, and I'm really deeply humbled by that experience.
Well, actually, the way it's organized, and with the hot links, there's a natural synchronicity in the way a person, like I say, can approach it in a non-linear way. And that synchronicity opens... you know, where you pay attention, you know, attention pays. There's where we focus our attention, you might say the door opens. And I think a lot of people come to the material because it's telling them something that they already know on the inner. And if there's a confirmation and an affirmation and a with their determination to understand, the door opens. And I can see where the synchronicity would expand to virtual revelation for a lot of people. I mean, it really was
like that. Yeah.
It really was for me. I, you know, going through it, the way it linked the light, you might say, or linked the highlights of a lot of different dimensions of this fifth dimensional shift that's in process, and that's something I definitely want to go into more, is the framing of this understanding of dimensionality, and this, it's a concept that's used a lot, the fifth dimension, and I want to go into that a little more. And I like the metaphor of crop circles and the extraordinary phenomena that you in a very succinct way oriented, you know, with that, the section you have on crop circles. That it's a very amazing, profound phenomena that doesn't get any media, but it is such a breathtaking understanding of these coded symbols and the evolution of those symbols. And of course, you know, and you reference how the crop circles evolved from simple geometric forms, you know, the core circle, triangle, square in the earlier stages, and evolved more sophisticated Euclidean geometric formulas with all kinds of messages that were referencing things that were going on in the world at the time. And
very much so. They are quite profound in terms of the content. I mean, the fact that the press pays them no heed is a good indication of the truth of them and their power. Given the agenda of the general media around the world and its alignment with those who set up the matrix in which we live.
Right. I like the quote that you gave from Glickman, where he says, "They, the crop circles, if you like, are playthings scattered on the nursery carpet to train us to play with the big boys."
He is marvelous. If you get the chance to watch Star Dreams, I thoroughly recommend it. He is so dry. You think he's about to fall asleep, and then he comes out with these gems. He's an extraordinary character, and he's very deeply connected. That's very clear.
That's really amazing. Well, I've been fascinated with Jungian psychology, and the understanding of dimensionality, and he was very into a mystical understanding. I mean, Jung was he was into the Gnostic mystical, you know, as you know.
Yes.
And the way he referenced the Tibetan and the Hopi sand paintings, you know, the geometric forms.
Yes.
I like to look at, when I say crop circles as a kind of 101 understanding of a universal language that is being coded, you know, on our nursery carpet.
Yes,
you know, and I like the way Jung actually talked about how his metamorphosis began with these geometric thought forms, these mandalic dreams that he had. And that's how he basically was initiated to an understanding of these universal archetypes. I refer to them as the frames of reference for a universal language are really in the crop circles
Well, if I can just move that conversation forward a little bit, you speak of archetypes. I guess provide a little update in a sense of the material in the ebook. I refer to the energetic cycles that are unfolding, particularly the Eye of Isis, which is perhaps the biggie that travels around the cosmos, kind of like a searchlight every million years or so. It arrived on this planet around about the turn of the year, around Christmas, New Year time frame. And that's the thing that is really, really driving the energy shifts right now, which those people who are aware of energies are certainly very aware of the huge acceleration this year. 2007 really was a year of clearing, I guess, and 2008 is really seeing the energies come into the planet in a powerful, powerful way. What we're seeing, one of the powerful things that we're seeing in terms of archetypes is a return of the fundamental archetypes, which are the divine feminine, which I don't think anyone would argue with me when I say it's been missing from certainly this planet for a long, long time. But also the return of the divine masculine, and some of the work that I've been involved in has been particularly focused on the return of the divine feminine throughout March, and that is now being followed up by the return of the divine masculine during April.
So
they are really, in many ways, the sort of fundamental archetypes, and they are returning to the planet at this point in time. And the return of the divine feminine is a truly extraordinary event. And the thing that one of the things I've come to understand quite recently is that, of course, you know, divine feminine, divine masculine are not about the expression of those, of the feminine masculine in the physical sense on planet Earth. Both men and women carry both divine feminine and divine masculine aspects. However, the thing that I have come to understand quite recently, and I'm still putting the pieces together about, is, you know, so much of what we've been taught in, if you like, Eastern spirituality and so on, has been that, you know, the focus is really to transcend the physical, if you will, to master it and transcend it. Whereas the real secret is that as we ascend with our physical, with our physicality, which is the promise of ascension, we will be ascending to a level of the high astral, which is the highest level that any beings have carried the physical body. What's happening is that the totality of who we are, not just a segment of who we are, which is what is historically been present in the physical body on planet Earth, but the totality of who we are will be expressed in physicality. That is the promise to those of us who chose to come and participate in this experiment in emotion on planet Earth. And the other thing that I've come to understand is that the unfolding that's happening here is really a microcosm of what's happening right across the cosmos. The divine feminine has not just been missing from planet Earth, but it's been missing right across the cosmos. So, you know, we've seen these references to Earth being a kind of special place in a sense, and it truly, truly is. I've come to understand that really quite recently. And what we are part of is just a truly extraordinary unfolding of which what's happening on planet Earth is really the cornerstone. It's so exciting. I'm just blown away. And I didn't understand this when I wrote my e-book, and I'm still understanding the pieces of this puzzle now. I find it incredibly humbling and incredibly exciting. It is absolutely profound what is happening.
I agree. I've read and I've tuned into an understanding that there are souls of spirit beings from throughout our system of, you know, our sectors of the universe, you know, that have incarnated on Earth right now. And that there's a resonant drama. There's a major drama with the you might say the integration, or what I call the assembling of the components to the capstone vision spirit, the spirit that matters. And when you talk about the Eye of Isis, I thought I'd go back to that for a second. Now you're saying that there was this. From what I understand, that it's also referred to as an alignment with the galactic nexus, this Eye of Isis. I've heard that referenced in these similar terms, that with the when Earth entered, there's been this process this last decade as Earth has entered the photon belt, at the, which I understand is a kind of a galactic nexus. And from what I understand, I don't know if you've heard this, that this orbit that Earth makes in around the great central sun about every 26,000 years?
That's one of the cycles that's certainly in play here. One of the things I've understood in studying cycles, which I studied the work of W.D. Gann, I thought for the purposes of trading that it took me a while to get through my thick head that I really hadn't learned it for trading. But I finally got the message. And
you mean stock trading?
I really learned about the importance of cycles, and more particularly the power of when multiple cycles end concurrently. And that is what we have at this point in time. So one of the cycles, if you like, that we are completing is the cycle that you're talking about, the 26,000-year cycle when we pass through the photon belt, and people speak about the so-called monastic radiation, which is an aspect of passing through the photon belt, and certainly that has a role to play. And you see a lot of discussion about that. A lot of people in the spiritual world think that is the big driver in all of this. It has a role to play, but I would rate that as about number three in the scheme of things. The second one I would focus on.
What would be number one?
The number one is the Eye of Isis, which I'll come back to again. The second one is what I would call the cycle of duality, if you will, as it's been experienced on this planet, which is a 200,000-year cycle. it started at the time of the explosion of the supernova that turned up here in 1987, 200,000 years after it exploded. So it's referred to as supernova 1987A, and it is the energies of that supernova which really have driven the shift in consciousness from 1987 through till now. And those energies continue to impact us, and have continued to grow. However, they have really been the preparatory energies for the arrival of the Eye of Isis. And that arrived, as I say, at the beginning of this year. It's a million-year kind of cycle. And what that is a direct energetic link to Source. Usually energy from Source passes around through, if you like, various suns particularly, as a key path of energy down to a particular area of the cosmos. However, where the Eye of Isis is present, there is a direct connection to Source. So we are currently being bathed in that energy and have a direct link to Source.
Well, that explains a lot, and you've got a section in the book where you detail this more, and I highly encourage people to reference that. And in that section, you refer to how every 13,000 years in this 26,000-year orbit of the Earth around, in the precession of the equinoxes, around the great central sun, that the Earth passes through this photon belt. And some people may wonder how that works. I've read several places and had it explained how the orbit is actually, the reason it's 13,000 years it passes through this photon belt is because if you take a circle and twist it just a little bit, it becomes like a figure eight. And that 13,000 years that as it cycles around that circle, which is kind of like a figure eight, it goes through this photon belt in the middle of it. And so the nexus of this 26,000-year precession of the equinox is actually through this photon belt, and where there's this repolarization, you might say, going on. And, of course, when that's aligned with the galactic nexus or the Eye of Isis, and again, these are terms I've read them interchangeably.
They're not interchangeably, Christopher. Let me be clear about this.
So they are not interchangeable. Okay.
No, they are quite different cycles.
There are actually
three cycles going on here, major ones that I can see, and I'm sure there are others. I mean, there are stargates that have opened over the last year or so that open extremely rarely. There are many, many cycles which are aligned with this extraordinary process that we are part of.
So this alignment
and
with
the... And as I say, you know, most of the literature that talks about this focuses on that passage through the photon belt. It has a role to play. I'm not denying it, but I would rate it as about number three on the major ones that I would focus on.
What do you understand about the alignment with the galactic nexus? What's the cycle involved with that?
You mean the Eye of Isis cycle?
In astrology, they refer to this alignment that's going on about now with the galactic nexus. I don't remember.
That term is not one that's familiar to me, Christopher. I'm not sure exactly what's being referred to there.
Okay. Maybe I am confusing with the Eye of Isis, and maybe one of our listeners can get back to me on the email regarding the specifics on that for perhaps another show. What I was going to reference in this is this convergence of cycles, these major cycles that are converging into 2012 and right now. From what I understand, there's an activation going on, and there's an awakening going on, and a lot of people are having these different gifts of the Holy Spirit, you might say, with dimensional experiences opening up, all kinds of versions of effective sensory perception, you might say. There's nothing extra about them when you have them. I've talked to so many people that are waking up to shifting time, loss of time, basically knowing things, seeing things, hearing things, you know, in a non-linear manner. And you were talking about this process that's going on with the principle of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And what I understand these archetypes to represent, from what I understand, and this is kind of a golden thread running through the ancient mysteries of God, you know, East and West, is that the circle is sometimes referred to the law of the one, but it's also referred to the spherical consciousness that's nonlinear consciousness that's truly spiritual, and that's quite often referenced as the divine feminine, whereas the divine, it's like unconditional love. Now, the principle of conditional love, the divine masculine, from a loving perspective, is like what goes on within everyone's, the two hemispheres of the brain. The right brain is more nonlinear, and the left brain is more linear. Of course, the divine masculine represents a framework of universal law language at its highest level. And it's the idea of polarity versus duality as we move more into, from what I understand, to the sense of all connection and how we're, the place where spirit and science meet is more like polarity.
If I could add a couple of things here, Christopher, in terms of my understanding of things. Firstly, we have again, looking at cycles, some of the short-term cycles that have been in play this year, if you look at the 21st of March, we had an alignment of the equinox, a full moon, and Good Friday. All powerful, powerful days or dates in themselves. And when I saw all these three coming together, I thought, my goodness, this is looking pretty powerful. And of course, those listeners who are aware of astrology would appreciate that. In fact, the 21st of March or that equinox is really the beginning of the astrological year.
Right.
So I looked at it and thought this packs some power, and indeed it proved to be, because what it really heralded later in the month was a return to the planet of the divine, if you like, the mother goddess, the return of the true divine feminine aspect of God, which has been missing not only from this planet but from the cosmos. And that was a truly profound moment, and is that that is driving so much change and a rebalancing right across the cosmos. I cannot make too much of the significance of that occurrence. And what we're going to see as a result of that is a phenomenal acceleration of the stripping away of the negative influences, if you will, that have been playing out in the consciousness on this planet. But looking a little more deeply at the nature of the divine feminine to begin with, there are really three aspects to, if you like, the divine feminine, and that is of the maiden, the young girl, if you like, the woman or priestess, and the crone or high priestess, if you will, and they all have aspects, specific aspects, again coming back to archetypes, as they relate to the divine feminine, so-called triple goddess interplay. And there is the equivalent in the divine masculine.
You know, so there's a trinity.
The young boy or page, the mature man, and the mature, older man, if you will, or older masculine aspect. And so what we're seeing really is the return of all of those aspects, the triple goddess and the triple god, if you like, unfolding this year. Another aspect of this is that the divine feminine really is the expression of the inner. It is the inner world.
Right.
And it is that, in a sense, which we need to master first. And the divine masculine is really the expression in action. And so it is the expression, the divine masculine expresses the knowledge and understanding of the divine feminine on the inner out into the world, out into the physical domain. And I believe from April onwards, we will begin to see the physical evidence of some of this shift which has been unfolding on the inner planes. So it is a truly extraordinary time. 2008 is the year when we will see some of the corruption and the manipulation which has been such a part of our experience on this planet, the matrix in which we live, beginning to get stripped away. One of the promises of the Eye of Isis is there will be, all secrets will be revealed, both of the dark and of the light. And so it is a truly, truly extraordinary time. And going back to your point earlier about beings incarnating on this planet, they're really, from what I can see, from two sources. Those coming from, I guess, higher vibrational embodied environments that, apart from over time having had a watching brief and an influence on the evolution on this planet, have a very vested interest in the successful unfolding of things here, because, as I said, what happens here actually unfolds right across the cosmos. As we ascend, so do other entities right across the cosmos.
So, of course,
because of this phenomenal event which is occurring here, the nature of the ascension, particularly on this planet, there are many divine beings who want to come and play the game.
Oh, that makes sense. A lot of them coming in as crystal children, perhaps.
Well, yes, in lots of ways. Some of them are coming in as walk-ins, so they don't have to go through that level. They're here to experience it as mature adults. Some of them have had an aspect here for some time and are really stepping into full expression of that. It is an amazing, amazing time.
So you say there's a Trinity aspect to the Divine Father and the Divine Mother, or the principles?
Yes.
Well, that kind of follows my cosmogenesis of the archetypes from the Law of the One, the circle, the two and one, which is the cross, the three and one, the Trinity, and the four and one, which is that mandalic archetype that Jung and Hopi and Tibetan sand paintings reference, but is really the archetype of the pyramid. When you look down the pyramid and you have the square with the cross and the circle at the center, the fifth dimensional consciousness, as I understand it, is like an integration of all those four basic geometric frames of reference that are cross-referenced or synergized or synchronistically integrated with a whole that's far greater than the sum of the parts, you might say.
Yes, sacred geometry is something that I'm kind of, I have been aware of, but it's not to this point anyway, it got really into my focus. What I do know is that all of creation is basically an expression through the use of sacred geometry. With a number of other factors coming into play, but sacred geometry is a very fundamental part of all creation.
Your section on holograms in your book, it's really fascinating in the way it frames a basic understanding of what goes on with the brain as a platform for the hologram of consciousness. My understanding of that is that there's a dimensionality in that hologram, and a lot of people understand holograms on a basic level, but there's a way to understand holograms in terms of the dimensions of consciousness itself. And what's amazing is that the left and right hemispheres of the brain corresponds, like I say, to the masculine feminine side of, you know, of one's being, and we all have that within us, and that there's a spectrum there. And of course, when they talk about autism, they talk about full spectrum disorder, but there's a full spectrum order, which are like the seven rays that the ascended masters talk about. And there's a language of light and consciousness in a full spectrum sense that you might say is on the horizontal dimensions of the left and right hemisphere. But you can take the principle of the cube or the cosmic cube as a hologram frame of reference within the brain, where you've got your upper brain, you know, superconsciousness, the lower brain, subconsciousness, the forebrain, and the back brain, And this cosmic cube is one of those ancient metaphors for, you know, one of the most powerful thought forms in the universe and the key to the ascension of the planet that is referenced in the Hopi and the Tibetan sand paintings in a two-dimensional way. But I've seen it referenced a lot in the Mysteries of God that reference this hologram of consciousness and how each of us, as you explain in your book, is like a piece of that larger hologram. And you have a very good way of explaining that, of how we're all connected, yet are, and Jung talked about individualization as being separate, yet part is the whole. And yeah. It's really fascinating to me how this understanding of fifth dimensional consciousness is evolving as a function of the hologram reality within our own heads.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we are essentially, I mean, you know, we're all pretty familiar with the expression, as within, so without, that what we live inside, if you like, the physicality is in some sort of referred to as the microcosm and the inner world, the macrocosm. So the microcosm is simply a projection of the macrocosm. You know, it's really hard to hold, and I certainly don't claim that I hold it on any ongoing basis. I understand it intellectually, but I don't live it. I don't live it today. And that is that we are all actively creating our own realities. In one sense, we all cooperatively, if you like, create the reality in the general sense that we see it. And yet within that context, we all individually create our own specific realities inside of that context. And part of what is involved with the ascension process is coming to understand that we do indeed create our own realities in that way. So as we ascend, we will gain the ability to really transform that physical reality with which we interact moment by moment by moment. Our ability to manifest will be instant. And so the degree of control, if you like, of the hologram, including the expression of our own physicality, will be very much under our control as we ascend to that level.
So this process of ascension in the infinite and the eternal here and now, from what I understand, is a way of transcending the habit of our perceptions of thinking, believing, thinking, feeling, and acting. Perception is reality in terms of the habit we have of we are what we believe, we become what we believe, we are what we think, we become what we thought, we are what we feel, we become what we felt, we are what we do, we become what we did, and that transcending that habit to where we are more fully present with a higher conscience that transcends the what was before a physical reality, a 3D reality, with a fourth and fifth dimensional seeing beyond the surface to whether it's reading auras, or reading someone's, being able to know what another person is thinking. Is this what you would call the ascension process?
Certainly those are aspects. I mean, the ability to telepathic communication will be a fundamental part of that environment. The ability to simply move from one physical location or another, in other words, teleporting, will be a natural part of that environment. There will be no secrets. The games that we play, thinking that we hide what we think or whatever from others, will go away. I mean, it's only a facade anyway. Other people are aware of it, whether they're conscious of it or not is another matter. But they are aware of it today. So there are, in truth, no secrets. Anyway, it's just that we think there are in this domain. And as we ascend, part of what will go is that veil of separation, which we we take to be real and is not. But they are all aspects of what will unfold. Perhaps to me, one of the most exciting aspects of the ascension process is us moving to a vibrational level where those of the dark and those who represent them will not be able to travel to. And as a result of that, this context of fear and control and manipulation, which is such a powerful aspect of this consciousness to the degree most people don't have a clue about, will get left behind. We cannot imagine what that is going to be like.
Well, it kind of reminds
just such an exciting time.
Kind of reminds me of the I sometimes think of the internet revolution as a mystical revolution in higher consciousness, in the sense that all of the secrets are being unveiled, and there is no time or space now. It's like all over the world, people are, netizen journalists are reporting and exposing what's really going on, and those who want to know are able to find it. I mean, when I say that, it's like all the ancient history to recent history. It's like the records are coming to the surface, and it's registering on everyone's hologram. And the higher the consciousness, the more there's the realization that it's all an illusion.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Yes, it is.
And I'm just fascinated with I think with what happened to me as I was reading through your book. There was like the lights were going off, and it was like there was a kind of a cascade after a while of affirmation of what I in many regards I already knew, but there you have a way in a very quintessential way of, in few words, referencing those highlights, and it does have a catalytic effect. And I sometimes refer to that process of pay attention to the archetypes or the keynotes or the highlights, because attention pays with more light, easier and faster.
Thank you. It is a relatively short book, and it certainly does focus on those highlights, as you say. It certainly does seem to turn some light on for some people, and I appreciate your feedback and comments along those lines. As I say, it's been more powerful in that regard than I had anticipated, really. I've been quite humbled by the impact that it's had on many, many people. I really just appreciate the opportunity, really, to help others understand this this process. One thing I would just like to comment on the way through here, one of the things I do make mention of in my ebook is an event called The Warning, which, most people today, would not connect with the conversation you and I are having. And if we're talking about the ascension of the planet and the opportunity of every being present on it to participate in that ascension, then as I began to understand it, one question that was there for me is, so how's the average person going to get distracted, away from their focus on paying the mortgage and getting food on the table every day? Become aware of what's going on here. And then I learned of an event which was referred to as the warning and was part of what Mother Mary communicated to the children at Fatima. Was a moment in time when we are, living on this planet and we will experience the removal of the veils to the point where we understand all that we have ever been, that we will see ourselves, as source sees us, all the lives we've lived, all that we have been, all that we've understood, and it will be like a lightning bolt where everybody on the planet in the same moment will have that understanding. That I think is going to wake a few people up.
Sometimes some of the prophecies of Mother Mary Fatima, or what was the other place, where the reference to a pole shift or the shifting of the poles or an energetic shift of the planet, that you would shutter the windows because it would be so terrifying what people would be seeing, because they would be seeing beyond the veil.
Let me touch on the pole shift. In a recent channeled interview that I participated in with Carolyn Evers, Mother Mary said there would be no pole shift as part of this. There is sufficient light come into the planet for that not to be required to, if you like, cleanse the energy of the planet for it to be able to ascend. What does remain, however, is for the axis of the Earth to realign with galactic center. In Atlantean times, the planet aligned with galactic center, and part of the fall, if you will, was to disconnect that direct alignment. It's part of the shift for the realignment of the axis occurred at the time of the 2004 tsunami, and there have been slightly further shifts. There is more to be done, and the those in the higher realms are working very hard to make that as painless as possible. We certainly will see some significant increase in climatic activity and potentially volcanic activity and so on over the next while, and I expect that to begin to start this year. However, it will not be cataclysmic in nature. It will not involve pole shifts. It will not be the ending of life as we know it on the planet, which certainly has been part of some of the prophecies, and the work that has been done by so many to raise the light on the planet, to raise the consciousness of the planet, had that work not been done, then certainly they would have been possible outcomes. But those probabilities have not progressed into possibility, if I can put it in that language.
In other words, the divine, from what I hear you're saying, the divine destiny for the big shift is an alignment of the poles rather than an actual pole reversal.
Yes, the pole reversal will not happen.
Okay. And I've heard that also, and that a lot of what's being put out there about these cataclysmic reversals and 1,000-mile-an-hour winds and all that is basically just part of the fear matrix used to numb and dumb the collective consciousness.
Yes, I believe so. I mean, there are many, many, many mechanisms which are used to endeavor to hold us in, if you like, in our lower chakras, and to keep us very much stuck in three-dimensional consciousness. There are many, many mechanisms, including rock music, including so many games and TV programs, things that focus on war and violence and so on, are all engineered to focus us on being stuck in our base chakras. Of course, the activities of things like the harp energy emissions and the work that's done to spread those energies around the planet is... firstly, the players that are playing with them do not understand the impact that they have on the structure of the planet. They don't realize that they are the level of fire that they're playing with there, and all of those influences will get pulled down in the not too distant future also.
In other words, a lot of what we're seeing with everything from genetic engineering to electromagnetic radiation from cell phones is all part of the... energetic pollution that is in the process with awareness. Half of the solution is knowing what the problem is, and there's a lot of awakening. It's all over the internet coming out of these influences, and of course, I think half of the test for anyone that's surfing the net or really looking for information is be able to sort the wheat from the chaff as far as, the negative and the positive.
It is, the key is discernment. Ultimately, this is a personal inner journey, and if we all learn to check within us, whether it is to use the sort of techniques that David Hawkins made such a success of with the use of kinesiology to test for these things, or whether yeah. you simply develop an intuitive inner sense of this. You know, one of the things that I've been given along the way is a sort of truth, which is simply a reflection of that process that I use to check the veracity of information that comes to me. And really, you know, what is the in selecting pretty much everything I do in life today, you know, is what I'm considering doing here in my highest good? Knowing that if it's in my highest good, it's in the highest good of everyone. If you apply that kind of inner test, to apply discernment and to understand and master discernment in just sorting through what's real and what's not, and if you're looking at what you're looking at from the point of view of fear, there is no way you can apply any discernment to anything.
I don't have the quote right in front of me, but you have a section in your book that speaks to the truth of that very well, and how I've always believed that where you put your attention is where your God is, so to speak. And you have a way of explaining it in this one section of how the dark side, if whether it's rock music or movies or whatever that focus your attention on that, then it that you have a way of and of course there's that understanding in general in the, you might say, the enlightened New Age community of how it expands, whatever, wherever you put your attention is fulfilled, you might say, with more of the same.
Indeed. And more than that, I would say that the specific thing I focus on in my ebook is if the concept of ascension resonates with you, then the key thing is to set an intention to participate in ascension. We don't appreciate, living inside this context, just what extraordinarily powerful beings we are. We have all chosen to come and play in this context, and anyone that's chosen to come and play here has been quite an evolved being before they ever came and played in this game. And so the key is beginning to acknowledge the power that each of us truly is. And in setting an intention, it is triggered off on a much, much broader basis than just this simple physicality that we see. And all that you need, whoever you are, whatever it is on your particular individual journey that you need to be able to fully participate in ascension, will come to you.
Well, Richard,
and, you know, that's going to be different for everyone.
Richard, we're going to have to wrap it up, but I'd like to finish on that note that if we focus with pure intention for ascension, that by God's grace it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Indeed it will.
And I'd like everyone to, if they have a chance, to download Richard's ebook from the link that's on the homepage for Cosmic Love, or through www.thecominggoldenage.com. And Richard, I hope we can do this again here in a few months.
Christopher, I would really enjoy that. This story is one that's unfolding at an extraordinary rate, and my level of understanding of it is just exploding, so I would love that.
Well, I look forward to it. Thank you so much, Richard.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Christopher.
Appreciate your time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.